get in love. That's fine. Love is fine. But you better watch it, because this thing that you are attracted to is going to destroy you one day.
Welcome to another episode of A Significant Other, a podcast on the funny sides of relationships. This is the first of two parts of my conversation with Monty, also known as Little Prince. In this first part, Monty tells me about his understanding and practice in love and how he met his wife.
Hi everyone, so my name's Monty, or actually my real name is Murtaza, but it's a bit too grand for you know, most people. So Monty is good, nice and short. I work with Kingsley, good friend, and we're always chatting about random stuff and sharing fashion tips. So glad to be here.
Awesome. So why the name Monty? Because it doesn't have any relationship to your real name.
No, so my original nickname so I need a nickname first of all, because Murtaza is hard to pronounce for the Western tongue. So original nickname was Mutti. Then I learned that it actually doesn't mean, it means something bad in Tamil, I think it was. So I remember I was serving some customers in my kind of side job in Boots, actually. And they were laughing at my name badge. And I'm like, what are you laughing at? They're like, basically your name means piss in our name. So they're like, thank you, piss. You piss. I piss. We all piss. So I'm like, yeah, we need to change the nickname. So Monty, I don't know how it came about, but someone, usually nicknames are betrothed, aren't they? They're given to you. So I think a friend gave me this nickname. But yeah, I've got loads of names. Names are an interesting topic in themselves. So at home, I'm called Raju. It basically means little prince. Maybe I was a bit of a diva growing up. So, and actually the story behind that was, it was actually a common name for the young character in Bollywood movies. And my brother, older brother, obviously saw me, little child. So he started calling me Raju. So yeah, that's where that's come from. And actually my original name was something different. So I was born with a different name completely on my birth certificate. So I've got two birth certificates. Wow. Makes me sound like a dodgy, like fugitive or something. But yeah, my original name was Ruhul Amin, which means spirit of truth. And I think, again, very grand name. So my superstitious grandma thought this is, because I was getting sick actually, so they thought this is a bit too like heavy. So it's actually the name of, it's the name of one of the angels, I think Gabriel in my religion. So yeah, they were like, yeah, you ain't no angel. So they changed my name to Murtaza. So still, no one can still pronounce my name. So yeah, it's Monty it is.
Wow, amazing. I like the Raju one. If you guys see him, Raju. Yeah, he actually looks like a Bollywood actor. But this is a podcast, so you can see, but I can see. Yeah, so we're going to get straight into the relationship part. So has your name played any part in you and probably winning anyone's heart?
My name, it's probably done the opposite, because no one can say my name. Because you can tell they can't remember my name, so they, when they're talking to me, you're like, you can see that they're trying to remember what my name was, and then yeah, they usually don't talk to me, or they just I joke. Not really, name hasn't really influenced anything. I think my name's quite unique. I guess that's something. I still feel weird when people say my full name. So I'm married. So I've been married for 2 years. My wife, she will say my full name sometimes, and I'll be like, "Who are you? Where am I? What is this?" You know. So, yeah. But it hasn't got me much luck with the ladies before marriage. Yes.
So what does your wife call you?
She calls me Monty. Yeah, Monty. Or she just, you know, she just doesn't call me anything and just kind of gives me gestures, some not very nice ones. you know how it is with couples. We just, yeah, you have your own language. So, so yeah, all sorts, good and bad.
So when she's upset with you, what does she call you?
Murtaza. That's when I hear Murtaza. I've done something wrong there. So my wife has this habit of, she will like basically give you a message or give you a very short kind of phone call saying, "We need to talk." And basically at this point my bowels start moving. You know the feeling, like, you know, like something's gone, what have I done now? And you can't really say what have I done? Because then you're kind of like admitting, and then she'd be like, yeah, what have you done? And then, yeah, so you just have to kind of like pretend it's all cool. But yeah, when it's Murtaza, you know, shit's going down when you get home. Or it might be something innocuous. You might say that and she'd be like, yeah, I was just wondering what you want to eat. And I'm like, oh, thanks. I was stressing all day because of you. But yeah.
Wow, that's cool. What do you like most about being married?
I think it's the... it's like having a comfortable blanket, you know? It's like, it's dirty, it's old. Not that my marriage is old. I'm still newly married, I think 2 years old. But it's just that comfort factor. I always think, like, if you can show your true self to someone,
yeah,
with all the failings and foibles and scars and issues, and they still stay with you,
yeah,
that's something to keep close to you. And the fact that you can go to this person after they've seen all the negativity and all your worst aspects and still want to be there with you in the same room, that's pretty nice feeling, you know, that they're always there, even and with all of you, having seen all of you. So I think that's the thing about marriage. It's like this, it's like going home, basically. And you know, sometimes the home can be dirty, sometimes it can be fresh, sometimes, you know, it's in different states, but it's still your home. And it might be a small home, big home, there's always that. So I think that's that factor of just like having that to go back to. Because I remember when I was single, it was a lonely time for me, you know. I'm an introvert, I'm a big introvert, even though I don't sound like it right now. So
he also doesn't look like an introvert,
yeah,
trust me.
This is all an act, trust me. You know, I go home and I tell my wife, just I need like an hour to read a book, yeah. But when I was single, it was a lonely time because there's so much uncertainty. There's always this thing of, I want to do this thing, but there's no one to go with. Like, you can only take... And also, I mean, I come from a conservative background, so it's not like I was, you know, partying, clubbing. And that combined with being an introvert meant that it was sometimes hard, like, especially during early adulthood, to find friends, to make friends. I feel like there's almost in society this kind of... ease of making friends while you're in school, and we're in college because you're constantly seeing people. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly you go to uni, and if you don't live out like I did, so I didn't live out, it kind of just unravels and people fade away, and then you have to make more of a conscious effort to do things, put yourself out there, which is obviously hard if you're an introvert because you just, all you want to do is just kind of curl up and be on your own. So I think, when I compare how I was when I was single to when I'm now, I think it's a better balance now because I can choose when to be alone. Whereas before it was like, okay, you're alone, deal with it. And yeah, obviously you have friends. I had many, many friends when I was single, but it's not quite the same because you know how people are. They come and go out of life. And how I am, I'm the kind of person who... where I am in my life, I will attract people around me, but I am shit at... keeping in touch. So even right on now on my phone, there's someone who's messaged me like 4 or 5 days ago, a good friend previously, they've moved on and I need to get back to them, and I'm probably going to forget because I have an appointment, then I'm going to be busy and I'm going to be tired. There's another ex-workmate, and yeah, so I don't help myself, basically what I'm trying to say is. So just having that constant kind of companionship there is good, and it's as I say, it's like coming home.
Have you ever been heartbroken before?
Have I been ever heartbroken? Well, we all have stories of, you know, exes and people where it didn't work out. For me, it's very easy to be heartbroken. I get heartbroken, you know, by the barista when they don't make eye contact with me. So I get heartbroken. I fall in love easily and I get heartbroken easily. Oh. So I'm yeah, I could say yes, but I've had experiences with you know, getting to know a girl, and I think my problem was that you need to sometimes, if something's not healthy, you need to end it or close it or say, look, you know what, this, you're cool, but this ain't working.
Yeah.
My problem was that I would say in my head, I'm going to make this work, to my own detriment, because it's, you're damaging yourself, you're damaging them, you know. So this person said, you know what, it's not working. And they gave me some truths, and I think this always happens when things break off. You know, when there's a breakup, you hear some truths and you like, you want to disagree and you want to be defensive, but with a breakup you just have to admit it. And sometimes it's not worth getting into the kind of nitty-gritty of you did this and I did this. So there was heartbreak there. It was like, oh, I did so much for this person and they've said these things, but it's cool. I think it doesn't last forever. And I think it was actually, looking back now, it was a good thing, because that experience made me self kind of reflect a lot and kind of do a lot of reflection. Yeah, so in a way it was good. But as I say, heartbreak is a subject I'm very, very familiar with. And also I'll say that, I mean, I'm going to sound like such a knob here, but I love reading old poetry, especially Persian poetry. So in there, there's loads of themes about love, but it's a very different love to what we know here in the West and even in modern life. But in previous generations, they would treat love with a little bit of apprehension. Love wasn't this light, bright, beautiful, you know, eyes wide thing. There was a darkness to it. And I find this such a intriguing topic, this dark side of love. Mm-hmm. And what they say, those poets, you know, like Rumi and Hafez, they say, get in love, that's fine. Love is fine, but you better watch it, because this thing that you are attracted to is going to destroy you one day. So know who you're messing with. So love for me is a very deep topic, and it's so powerful. So one of my like absolute favorite writers is Maya Angelou, American writer, poet, activist. So she says, one of her famous quotes is, maybe love is the force that keeps the universe held together. Now, thinking of love as this kind of glue, the thing, so we talk about gravity and things, but maybe it's just another word for love, you know? And maybe it's coursing through everyone's veins right now, and maybe it is that powerful, you know, if you think about it. But yeah, I'm getting all arty-farty and pretentious, so I'll be quiet now.
Well, you said something about marriage, more like keeping you grounded. So I think it's not far from what you just said now. Love is like that glue, like gravity. So to you, maybe that's a translation of what love is.
But it's dangerous as well.
Yeah.
It can, as you say, heartbreak, it can kill you. It can literally, there's people who have died because of heartbreak. You hear about people who've lost a partner, been married years and years, soon after the other person passes away as well. After that, you know, one person, the couple dies. So it shows you, this is a elemental, almost raw and powerful force, not to be messed with.
My grandma will always say, probably when we get a new gift or a new toy and we're all excited about it, she would always like just to calm us down. She's like, that thing which is making you happy is still going to make you cry.
Yes.
And before you know it, probably you're falling off that bike and crying or something of that sort. So just as you said, I think love is also along that lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Like sometimes my wife will joke with me, she'll say, Why aren't you more gushing in your expression of love? Mm-hmm. And it's because of this reason. I think, like, be careful with this thing, you know? Because you know what? Like, I could destroy someone with love, right? If I was a, you know, bastard. Mm-hmm. It's okay to swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally make someone fall for me and I could fall for them. But in a way, I could know that once I've got them hypnotized, I can pull the wool, I could pull the floor from underneath them and make them fall like they've never fallen before. So yeah, it can be weaponized. So when I say I love you to my partner, I want to say it truly and with meaning and responsibly. Yeah. I don't want to say it lightly and then one day be like, you know what, nah, actually, and do some kind of act that betrays my words. It's a heavy and interesting subject, but yeah, I should probably take my wife's advice and just say the damn words more often as well.
Yeah, I think Monty is a poet. I can agree now. So tell me about your marriage. So how did you meet your wife?
So I'm Muslim. The practicing ones amongst us aren't meant to meet, but as you all know, we probably do everything and anything under the sun. But trying to kind of live by those principles. So I wouldn't go too deep into any relationship before marriage. So I told myself, look, you're going to get married, do this properly. Respect your future wife and don't mess around with yourself and other people until you find that person. So that kind of kept me a bit grounded and focused and not messing around. And I just didn't like the idea of messing, not doing things seriously. So what happened was with my wife, basically our mums knew each other. So not very well though. So we exchanged, or they exchanged contact details, and then we started talking online. And then based on that, I think we were just asking each other questions. So there's this page online on some forum, and there's like 100 questions to ask your spouse, and it's the most funniest thing. It's like, do you believe in I don't know, some weird stuff. I'm not even gonna say it, but like, what is it like? Do you pray and stuff like this? You know. But now I realize that those questions were actually, it wasn't much benefit, like, because at that point, when you're courting or whatever you call it, meeting, getting to know, you put on the best version of yourself and you say things which you think the other person wants to hear.
That's the end of the first part of my conversations with Munty. The second part is also available to listen to now. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you did enjoy listening to the podcast, please drop me a comment on Apple Podcasts and also share with friends. I'd also like to hear your story and have a chat with you on the funny sides of relationships. The podcast has an Instagram page. You'll find the link in the description notes of this episode. Thanks for listening.